Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey. Here with me is EVBIDS co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going today?
It's going great.
Awesome. So good to have you as always. And in this episode today, we're going to cover our week in review from our T3 Facebook group, including something that we normally kind of stay away from is the current shenanigans going on with the political landscape. We're going to talk about Tesla ideal range versus actual mileage. We're going to talk about how many miles you should get out of a set of tires on your Tesla, hot interior temps, even when it's cold outside. And last but not least, the trending Mark Rober video on LiDAR versus Tesla vision. But Tori, before we jump into all of that, for those who may be unfamiliar, can you tell us a little bit more about the T3 community?
Sure. Yeah, the Tesla Tips and Tricks community is the largest Tesla Tips oriented community in the world with over 279,000 members. And we provide guidance, insights, and real world practical advice to enhance the ownership of a Tesla to current owners, as well as prospective Tesla owners. We work hard to fight spammers, to remove inappropriate content from the group, and just ensure that there's a polite and courteous and fun community for Tesla enthusiasts to thrive in. And I'd also like to mention that T3 auctions, man, if you're looking for a great way to sell or buy a clean Tesla, be sure that you visit teslatipsandtricks.com. Check out T3 auctions. These aren't wholesale auctions. They're retail auctions, and they're made for good, clean Teslas. And it's absolutely the easiest way to buy or sell a Tesla. You can save a lot of time. You can avoid the drama. Just visit teslatipsandtricks.com.
All right. Sounds good. Well, as we jump into the top five posts, please be sure to click like and subscribe buttons. It really helps us to keep the good Tesla Tips and Tricks content coming your way. So coming in here, the first thing we're going to dive into is, are you still happy driving your Tesla? And would you consider buying a new one because of the moment hate situation regarding Musk and Tesla cars? So we're just going to pull the Band-Aid, Tori, and jump right in here to the elephant in the room.
Yeah, this is a brand new post. Normally, we like to wait until things get a little bit more seasoned to see what's going to play out before choosing the posts. But this one, it certainly hits a hot topic right now because there is a lot of drama going on in the world revolving around Musk and Tesla vehicles. So the comments here, it's 238 so far.
256 already.
Oh, it did. It just updated. Yeah, 256. Yeah. So the comments are, they're just great. Basically, it's whether somebody loves Elon or is not a fan of him, whether somebody loves the Tesla brand or is not a fan of the, you know, Elon joining Doge and they don't like that. Either way, what I love about this is essentially 250 comments of people who are supporting driving a Tesla. Enjoy it. Love it. Don't let the politics get in the way of what kind of car you drive. So I really appreciate that. And a lot of the comments here, I'll just read through a couple of them. You know, I love my Tesla. Why turn political? Who cares? And then, you know, I didn't buy my Tesla because of Elon, Bill says, and I'm not going to sell it because of him. But do I love, but I do love what he's doing. So Bill says, I didn't buy it because of Elon. I'm not going to sell it because of him, but he's a big fan of what he's doing. But then we've got other people who say that, you know, they're not a fan of Elon. They don't like what he's doing, but they still love their car. You know, Raid says Elon's a legend. We're lucky that he's the way that he is. I have a Model Y and we'll stay with Tesla. But coming down, I've got, you know, here just let me find who it was.
Here's Rod. It says, I bought the car because of its specs, not because of Elon. The specs haven't changed. So,
right. Cecilia says, I will not be bullied into selling mine. I bought a car, not a philosophy. And again, it goes back and forth. but everybody, the thing I loved about this post is everybody is so positive on Tesla, and the media could get you believing or cause you to believe that everybody is miserable right now if they have a Tesla. And I'm seeing quite the opposite. You know, there are, we have had to ban a few people who get out there and into left field or right field because they just went way too far out there. They crossed that line. But by and large, you know, 99.9% of all of the comments that we're receiving are people who they get it, that they want to enhance the ownership of a Tesla and they love their Tesla and they're not going to sell it just because of the what the CEO of the car company is doing. Other people even making correlations on, you know, well, should we ban any kind of German, you know, vehicle because of World War II? Or, you know, Volkswagen was literally created and worked as a part of the Nazi Germany party. So should we ban Volkswagen? It's just, you know, it's silly to think of it that way. And a lot of comments here you'll read too with the shenanigans that are going on and the damages that are being done to Teslas. You're not doing Elon, even if you hate Elon and you don't like Tesla. If you key a car, or if you, you know, I've seen a couple set on fire at the Tesla dealerships, you're not hurting Elon when you do that. When you key somebody's car or put nails under tires, I've just seen a few things out there. Fortunately, I think it's we're seeing the outliers. But if you're doing that, you're not hurting Elon or Tesla. You're hurting somebody who might even be like-minded to you in many ways or not. But you're hurting the people, you're not hurting the brand. And then the last thing I just want to end with on this is I posted something last week about political bashing not being allowed. It says, these comments and posts, the political bashing will be deleted and the offender will likely be banned from the group. Let's keep it nonpartisan and focus on tips to improve Tesla ownership. So, and then I've got the Ron Burgundy, stay classy, San Diego. For those who have watched that movie, Anchorman. But this, what I love about this post is it is nonpartisan. You've got a lot of people who are leaning to the left, who are liberal, who are leaning to the right, or who are conservative, and everybody can come together as one and focus on the enjoyment of driving a really, really awesome car. And that's the purpose of the group. Let's focus on what we have in common, not what separates us. And that's what the political bashing does. So we have had to remove some folks and ban them over the past couple of weeks. We hate doing that. But if you can come, regardless of your political affiliation, or if you lean left or right, and we can focus on the enjoyment of Tesla, welcome to the group. We love that you're here.
Yeah. And I just want to add, Tori, that was a really good, you know, post that you did about political bashing not allowed. And I know we got, you know, we got some flack for, you know, allowing Alexandra's post to stay up, which is 256 comments in a short amount of time. And I just want to point out, like you were saying in our intro, that, you know, our team of moderators and admins work really hard to ensure that people are kind and nice. But there is an overlap with politics and Teslas. There just is. I mean, the tax credits are very relevant in the U.S. The tax credits can vary by state and by federal, and they're related to politics. You know, Elon is a very polarizing figure. He has gotten involved in politics. And so while we don't want this to be a big, you know, political place, there are some times where it's just appropriate that, you know, like Alexandra's post, where it was refreshing to see how many people that could come together and just share a common rapport of loving Tesla and loving their Tesla cars and not getting ugly with one another. It proves that perhaps some of what, you know, we hear in the media and all might be a little bit exaggerated, because the sentiment we're seeing from the largest Tesla Tips group in online is overwhelmingly positive, and that's quite refreshing. So I just wanted to point out that there is a little bit of overlap that's unavoidable, and we do work hard to try to find that balance there.
And here is one, you know, that is not, she was able to state, Joanne was, something that is a very mature thought. She's not a fan of Elon, and that's okay. She said she will not buy a Tesla again until there's a new CEO. And that, like, people might really disagree with that, but that's not, it's not political bashing. And then down here, we see Alan, who, this is 100% the other way. Absolutely would. I'm actually more motivated to buy a new one now. So it's a contrast and comparison. One is more left, one is more right, but there's no bashing and hatred. Right. So we can have this conversation without getting ugly.
Right. Yeah. And it is interesting to kind of learn everyone's perspective, because you kind of, I love the comments, because you know the comments are real, and you don't always know, unfortunately, what you hear and see, where there's objectivity in traditional forms of media. So the comments are the real deal.
Yep, they are. So come and join in the conversation. We'd love to have you. Obviously, this one is going to get a lot of traction. If you're not a part of the group, you can come and search and find it in the Tesla Tips and Tricks group.
Yep. All right. So moving on, number four, just got my first Tesla about a week ago, and it says my range is supposed to be close to 300 miles. It's a 23 performance, but I went through 80% in like 4 days. I did the energy diagnostic app and says no battery issues. I'm in chill mode. Any other tips you guys and gals can help a noob with would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. So John, this is a common question that John has. And I do want to point out first that in the comments, we do get out of him what 80% means. And so he did include his model, his year and model, which is awesome. But the 80%, there's no way to know what that means. If you went through 80% and drove 280 miles, wow, that's incredible. If you went through 80% and drove 50 miles, wow, that's horrible. So, but he does explain below, I don't remember the actual numbers, but he explains essentially that, you know, he's gone through 80%, but he's only driven 170 miles or something like that. And so it's not 80% of the mileage. This is real common on new Tesla owners, because they are looking at that range and think that's what they should get for when they drive. Now, that range is not accurate even in ICE vehicles from like an EPA range. It's not usually accurate. But in a Tesla, it can be really, really inaccurate depending on the weather that you're in, how you drive, and what features you have activated. So we'll just kind of go through some of these. And by the way, a lot of the comments, people are laughing at him because he's at a gas station. And, you know, they're like, hey, it's ironic that you took this picture at the Circle K sitting at a gas pump. And he kind of laughs about it and says, yeah, it was for attention and thought it would be a funny picture. And so he
433 posts or comments on John's post.
Yeah, 433. But what the overview of all of the comments say are, number one, your range is related to a capacity storage of the battery. And so when you think about your range, it's, you have, let's just say you have 100 kilowatt hour battery. This car doesn't, but that's just easy math, 100. And so you go, hey, with 100 kilowatt hours of storage, I should get 300 miles. And the answer is, that is correct. And one comment down here that I will read is, let me find it here.
While you're looking at that, Tori, this is John Sindelair said your range will be about 20 to 40% less when temperatures are below 30 degrees Fahrenheit or above 100 degrees, depending on use of climate control. Your range will be about 5 to 20% less if going over 65 miles per hour or driving in rain or snow. Lose about 5 to 15% range depending on the strength of the headwinds, crosswinds you're driving into. Lose 5 to 25% range if you keep the climate control on a fan speed of 3 to 4, either heat or air, 65 or above 72. Your range will be 15 to 65% less if you have something you're carrying on your roof rack or towing. Lose range if your tires are not filled to the proper PSI or have larger rims and tires. Lose more range if going uphill. Lose more range if you accelerate quickly or use the brake manually. Leaving cabin overheat protection on or using sentry mode will consume battery when idle. I mean, that's very thorough. It's all about energy consumption.
It is. And that's why a lot of the comments that you always read on this is take your display off of mileage range and do it based off of percentage, because then it gives you a better idea of you have a capacity, a storage amount of kilowatt hours in your battery, and your range uses the storage. The drive unit uses that storage, but also more than just that, your, as you mentioned, your interior, your heating and your climate control. Thank you. Goodness. Your climate control uses battery that way. If you have Sentry mode on, and you should, it can use anywhere from 1 to 2% to 5% per day, depending on how frequently it's activated. If you have summons on, it's using power. If you're going uphill, so if your trip is primarily with a lot of hills, you're going to use more power. You're not going to get 300 miles because you're using more energy of the battery to go uphill. If you're driving at, 85 miles an hour, the motors have to work harder to keep you at that speed. If you mentioned the tire inflation, all that stuff, it is all using battery capacity to continue going. So if you leave it on mileage on your display, you have to think of it like, okay, my heated seats and my climate at 73 degrees is going to use, 25 miles of my capacity, because that's what you're telling the car to show you is the capacity of the battery in mileage instead of percentage. And that's a good way to look at it there. But, if you were on a flat road doing 60 miles an hour with the temperature outside of 75 degrees, you don't have any climate control on, and you're on a flat road with no wind, no headwind, no tailwind, you'll get 300 miles or close to it. But
if you're on a flat road in Texas and you're driving straight into a 35 mile an hour headwind, you may only get 200 miles.
Right. Or 170. So it's airplanes have to deal with that too, by the way. What's funny is,
100%.
Not a set amount of tons of fuel. They do it by weight, but going from Georgia, we're in Georgia. So in US, going from the East Coast to the West Coast, it can take 4.5-5 hours, and the trip back can take, 3.5 or 4 hours.
Yep.
And it uses a ton more fuel to push through the headwind, because the wind here always comes from the west. Always comes from the west and blows towards the east. So it's the same thing in one of these cars. So
my flight from Florida, where I'm at, to Atlanta is an hour and 15 with a tailwind, and it can be an hour 35 with a headwind. So, and it uses, like you said, they use a lot more fuel going into that headwind as well. So
my favorite comment here, Rod, though, is he mentioned chill mode, which obviously is going to use less energy.
But yeah, the comments weren't real favorable on chill mode.
Because have a performance model. So yeah. Kenneth said, chill mode, you got to actually drive that bad boy. Mm-hmm. In all caps.
Yeah, he caught some slack for chill mode. That was good. So,
yep.
Well, that's good. We'll move on here to Sherry, who says, how many miles did you all get on your tires? My friend said a tire place told her 20,000 was normal because of car weight. I have a Y model. So take us through some of these comments on Sherry's post, Tori.
You know, sometimes these cars are a little heavier than other cars, but a lot of times they're not. So Robert makes that point. He says a BMW M3 has a curb weight of 3891. You know, a lot of Chargers and Dodge Challengers are 4,000 pounds, but a Model 3 Performance is a curb weight of 4,054 pounds. So they're not by any major degree heavier than ICE vehicles. Sometimes they are, but that's when it goes back to the whole tire thing of, you know, electric cars, they have instant torque. So whenever you hit the gas, well, I say gas pedal, the accelerator pedal on an electric car, when that torque that you're getting, the instant torque, is chewing through your tires. So by keeping it in chill mode and not accelerating as fast from, especially from a stop, you are going to save a lot of tires. If you are in performance mode, just like the last post we talked about, you got to drive that bad boy. Well, if you're always driving that bad boy in performance mode on ludicrous, always taking off, yeah, you may not even get 20,000 miles out of tires. And if you're taking turns, you know, faster than the average person and driving aggressively, you're not going to get 20,000 miles out of that set of tires. But also, this largely depends upon the tire that you get. So a lot of Teslas, the performance versions or the performance trims especially, you get high performance tires. Well, that's a softer compound of rubber, and it's made for grip and performance. It's not made for mileage. So if you get a 35,000 mile rated tire, you might only get 15 or 20,000 miles out of it. But if you get a 50 or 60,000 mile rated tire, is it going to grip as well? No. In terms of taking off, could it spin a little bit? You know, traction control engages? Yeah. In the rain? Yeah, sure. It's still going to perform okay in the rain in terms of normal use, but it's going to last longer. It's a harder compound tire. Might be a little bit of a rougher ride a little bit, but you'll get more mileage out of it. So that's what everybody here, all the comments are saying, is people saying, I get 15 to 20, I get 35,000, I get 50,000. Man, this is so subjective. How do you drive? How fast do you take off? How do you take turns? Do you have the right air pressure in your tires at all times? Do you get it rotated? If you get your tires rotated commonly or constantly, you know, every 5,000 miles, you're going to get more life out of your tires. And if you're not braking hard. So if you do the opposite of all those things, you're going to wear out tires very, very fast. Last note here, I will point out that some Teslas have the independent rear suspension of them. They tend to have a negative camber, which means that the tires are sticking out a little bit more at the bottom than they are on the top. So this would be positive camber. For those who can't see me, when the bottom of the tire is facing in, that's positive camber. Negative camber is when the bottom of the tire is sticking out. Independent rear suspension is known for the lower the ride height, the more negative camber you have. And so if you've got your ride height set on low all the time or very low, and you're constantly goosing it, you're going to wear the inside edge of that tire out really, really fast. You could still have 40 or 50% of your tread life, but you're still on the inside edge because of the suspension setting. And then there are camber correction kits that you can get that are aftermarket. Tesla doesn't sell this. They're aftermarket. So proceed with caution if you're still under warranty doing that. But you can make it to where the tires at your preferred height, your preferred ride height, are perfectly perpendicular, all the meets on the ground.
Yeah, my 2018 Model X, I liked it. I always left it in the lower setting because I just liked how it looked, and it rode fine. But it absolutely ate through the inside of the tires, exactly what you just said. But, you know, just and kind of recapping here, Tori, you know, Brian said he had a 2022 Model 3 in his stock tires. He got 20,000 miles out of them. After that, he got Continentals, which are supposed to be good for 50,000 miles. And then Jasper Lacey says she got 19,000 out of stock. But on her second set, she's at 31,000 and should be able to hit 40,000 Weiss Model Y got 28,000 stock. So it does kind of sound like typically the stock tires are going to be more performance oriented. So it does kind of sound like it's that 20 to 30,000 miles on a lot of the performance model stock tires.
You know, a lot of new vehicles come with really soft compound tires.
Yeah.
This is not just Tesla. This is across the board.
No.
I bought a new Ram 2500 and I got 17,000 miles out of the first set of tires.
And why they do that? Because they, you know, when you have all of the different, testing and reviews on the vehicle, those high performance, softer compound tires, they ride better. The car handles better. It accelerates better. And so it, from a review, from a media PR perspective, the car just, it just rides better, but those tires wear out faster. So, you know, that is, you know, Tori and I were in the motorcycle business for a lot of years and it was the same thing. All the motorcycles came with the super bad to the bone, you know, soft compound tires. And yeah, they handled great. And they, you got 5,000 miles out of a rear tire on your street bike and you had to replace it. So it's, you know, that's what they do. But it does sound like there's some alternatives out there to get better mileage. But I am a nut about tire pressure and tire rotation. That is the best thing you can do to ensure you get maximum life out of your tires. Do not be a slacker with your tire pressure. So my children and wife get tired of hearing that story from me.
Yep.
All right. All right. So let's jump on here to Kenny, who says it's 55 degrees outside, but 109 degrees inside my car. Help me make this make sense.
Yeah. So a lot of the comments here, for those who can't see the screen, the temperature is set to high, but it's off. The climate's off. So a lot of people were saying, oh, it looks like you have, your preconditioning set to high and it was probably on. And that could have been the case here. Certainly you could have had a schedule for a preconditioned leaving and therefore the climate control was on and it was heating up the interior while it was conditioning the battery because it's 55 degrees outside. So that could have happened, but assuming that didn't happen, where the most of the comments go to with this is the way that that happens is it's a greenhouse effect. And so the way that a greenhouse effect works is when it's sunny, if it's cloudy, this is not a big deal, but when it's sunny, it can be 55 degrees outside and the inside of your Tesla, especially a little bit more because it has a glass roof, a lot of glass, it is capturing the radiant heat of the sun and trapping it inside. So it's kind of the law of thermodynamics here of just it's radiant heat, a greenhouse effect, and your inside of your car will get hot, much more hotter than the exterior temperature when it's sunny outside, especially this time of year as we go into spring when it's still cold, but the sun's getting closer to us and there's more radiant heat. A good comment here that I loved by Dara says your previous cars got that hot too. You just didn't have an app telling you exactly how warm it was. And that's probably true, as previous cars probably were, at least getting close. Maybe the glass window tops have a little bit more, potential to have some more radiant heat. But your other cars were doing this too. You just didn't have an app to look at it. So that's my favorite comment here.
And here's my favorite is from Rich. You know, we don't normally allow emojis because they just get out of control.
Yeah.
But Rich says, mine does that when my wife is in the car and he's got the heart emoji. And so yeah. Carson says, oh, so you're both in this group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The wife saw that for sure. That's hilarious. Yeah. That was my favorite comment too. The most related one was from Dara, as we read. But, and then, you know, just the last thing to mention here is there is cabin overheat protection in the Tesla app. You go into climate and at the bottom of the screen, I have mine turned off here, but that's it right there. And when it's on, you can set the temp that you want it to come on at. Do not set that to a low temp because what will happen is your car AC will turn on and run incessantly and lower your battery. So You do not want to turn that on to a low. Typically, I think it's set to 120 degrees. So you can turn it on and set it to 120 so that the car doesn't overheat on the inside. But that is one more little note there that you can turn on to keep it from getting too hot.
Yeah.
And well, and I will say this, Sophia mentioned you can put an infrared IR film on the inside of the roof glass. It reduces heat transmitted into the car. I got that done by the company that did hit my paint protection film, PPF. Make sure it's IR protection, not UV protection. So UV will stop a lot of the UV rays, but infrared will get to where like 0% is coming through. So that's a one last good tip there.
All right. So last post we're going to talk about today, our good friend Sam, our moderator, posted, I found this Mark Rober video in my news feed and found it interesting. Sam, this was all over X as well. So take us through this interesting Mark Rober viral video that we've been seeing all over the place, Tori.
So I'll show a screenshot of where a lot of the drama is coming from on this for Mark Rober. They painted a screen and they put styrofoam blocks behind it. And the screen, if you can see my screen, you'll see how real it looks.
And for those that don't know, Mark Rober is a former NASA engineer and now a YouTuber. So,
he uses his engineering expertise to come up with some really cool stuff, like the porch packet thieves who rob packages from porches. He created something that when you take it, whenever you open it, it had pins so you couldn't close it, but it spit out 2 pounds of glitter, fine glitter, and activated a siren, and it started spraying like this awful fart spray. So if a porch thief grabbed this package off the porch, took it to their car or to their house later, they would open it up and it would fart spray.
Now I gotta go find this and watch this.
Oh my gosh, it is fantastic. And they've gone through several different iterations because the phones record it. And so they've made it better and better and better as time has gone by. Another one is he made this elaborate squirrel obstacle course to get to a prize to try to see how crazy squirrels could get it just using engineering. It's interesting. And I've always liked Mark Rober, but in this one, the drama that he has here is number one, when you look at this, and that's kind of the point, this isn't your Looney Tunes, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote drawing, this fake thing and the Roadrunner goes through it. This looks real. I would even contend that if real people were on this road driving, there would be a pretty hefty percentage that would probably drive through this and not even know that it was a picture. So it is that good. Yeah, but where the drama... Really,
and it's on a, just for those who can't see, this painting of the road that is like a barrier. It's a very desolate country road. So there, there's not buildings and real estate. It's just like a flat cornfield. So there's really, the blue sky and then, a paved road and then fields. There's not a lot of other, there's not a lot of other features, buildings or other, things that would, cars, there's no other cars. There's nothing else to really give it any more, perspective or depth.
Yeah. They even drew the cracks on the road. Yeah. So like the side of the road, the lines, the yellow line, the white, like everything looks identical. They did a good job of making this, but and his point was to show that the Tesla Vision camera focus is not as good as LiDAR. So before we talk about LiDAR and tell what it is, one of the big challenges that he's getting drama from is that the video. He drove his Tesla and let autopilot go through. It didn't stop. It looks like it went off of full self-drive. It wasn't on full self-drive. It was just on autopilot, auto steer, and people were giving him a fit about that. Although I don't know that there's going to be much difference. It probably still would have done the same thing. But when he goes through the wall, the rainbow road indicating that auto steer or FSD was on was off. And he said that happened automatically. It just did. It just turned off when he was seven frames before the wall. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I can tell you where there perhaps was a lack of judgment is Luminar provided the vehicle for the LiDAR test, and LiDAR is radar. They drove their car and they controlled all of that. So they knew what test they were going to do. And they came in the car, they drove their car. Mark didn't drive their car. They drove it. And it would be a lot like if a Tesla, if the lead Tesla FSD or auto steer engineer came and said, no, I'm going to do the test. Trust me. You can't drive it. I have to drive it. It's suspicious.
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about what is LiDAR versus radar versus Tesla Vision. So radar is what Tesla used to have. And radar, it can tell distances how far something is from you. But the further that you get from radar, the harder that it is to really tell what it is. And so for those who can't see my screen here, I'm looking at a picture of radar. And you can see with radar, the fuzziness of how it makes out where different cars are on the road. And so radar is really, really good, especially up close, though. So like if you're parking in your garage and you know, Rod, something that you miss from radar is it'll tell you you're 30 inches from the wall, you're 20 inches, you're 12 inches. That's radar. Very good up close. What LiDAR does is it uses lasers to map out an image. And so on the screen, for those who can't see it, there's a picture of a house and it's trees and forests and different things. And it shows how LiDAR has mapped everything out using lasers. And so the laser picks up on the definition of things at a far greater level than radar does. But Tesla's up through 2020 used radar, 2021-ish. And I think in 2021 or maybe a couple of years later, they switched over to Tesla Vision. And what Tesla Vision is it uses the cameras to view everything, to control everything. It's not using radar data. And so this Tesla Vision has done a phenomenal job on FSD and auto steer. They have reduced a ton of code. They have put AI in on the camera vision to know what things are. But when a camera is looking at something that would potentially be difficult for people to even distinguish if they weren't really paying attention, obviously LiDAR is going to say there's an object there, to where a Tesla cam is going to look and say it looks like a real road continues. Yeah. And that, I think, was the point of this test, but it felt like it was very misleading, especially with Luminar being there. They had to control and drive their products, and it just people basically very, very talking about how this is very disingenuous, and it looks like people are trying to be fooled and that there's a political nature behind this post. But the big thing here that I can tell you is I use FSD 85% of the time that I drive. It's gotten so good with Tesla Vision that, I mean, I have to applaud them on what they're doing. It's incredible. Now, with that said, would LiDAR be better? Especially when you think about, aviation where everything has redundancy. I could see in the long run with full autonomous vehicles, I could see the redundancy of having the Tesla Vision with LiDAR that is mapping everything around for distance and for everything. That would be the perfect alternative or the perfect scenario for me, I should say. But
I think that part of this, there's a little bit of a rivalry, I guess, if you will, with Waymo's autonomous driving. They use the LiDAR. And so, there's people trying to kind of create that, you know, that rivalry between Waymo and Tesla. Who's really going to get this autonomous, you know, kind of autonomous taxi thing going first? And, you know, a lot of people think the Waymo is superior because of the LiDAR. So, yeah, there's just a little bit of a rivalry there.
But I'll tell you, and this is, again, this is a testament to what Tesla's done with Tesla Vision. This, they are using LiDAR, and it doesn't have to be this extensive. I'm sure that they'll be able to bake this in a little bit more. But when I look at this car, man, I would not want my car looking like that. Would you?
No.
For those who can't see the screen, if you pull up a Waymo autonomous car, there's big clunky cameras on each of the corners, big LiDAR instruments. There's this big, massive, the size of the roof disc with several different sensors sticking up out of it. And so it is, okay, would that stop for a fake picture that looked exactly like the real thing across the road? Yeah, I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
But
for the record, I don't think this is a vehicle. I don't think their target audience is for you or I to buy one of these. I think this is public transportation, autonomous public transportation is their model. But I don't even know if I want to get in this thing.
Right. Well, it's just overbearing when you look at all of that. And I don't know, I haven't done the research to know how big the equipment has to be for these sensors. And maybe it does need to be a little bigger. Although if you were making it and you could engineer it into the car, you could save some of the space. But based off of how much there is there, it would definitely change the look of the car. I'm sure that this equipment is pretty big. So in the long run, I hope that they incorporate some LiDAR into Teslas for full self-drive. But for now, I'm completely okay with the fact that my Tesla, if I'm not paying attention, if somebody creates the most realistic picture ever and screens it across the road, I'm okay with my car potentially driving into that because it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So thanks to our friend, Sam Dominic, for the, sharing the Mark Rober video. Now I got to go look this guy up on YouTube and watch this, Porch Pirates prank video, because that sounds pretty hilarious. So with that, that wraps up this episode of the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. Tori, any parting thoughts or comments for
just one more last reminder of T3 auctions. Check it out. Go to teslatipsandtricks.com. You can list your car there. We'll start the process. You upload a few pictures. We'll contact you to discuss what potential values could be. Make sure that that we're at least in the same ballpark for market value. And then we can go from there. So just submitting that form starts the process of us reaching out to you. Doesn't necessarily lock you in. It's a great place to start. If you're looking for a Tesla, check out teslatipsandtricks.com as well.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for listening or watching. And be sure to hit like and subscribe, and we'll see you on the next episode.